Chapter 13, The Latter Rain.
The work of the Spirit likened to rain. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. In the east, the former rain falls at the sowing time. It is necessary in order that the seed may germinate. Under the influence of the fertilizing showers, the tender shoot springs up. The latter rain, falling near the close of the season, ripens the grain and prepares it for the sickle. The Lord employs these operations of nature to represent the work of the Holy Spirit. As the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual growth. The ripening of the grain represents the completion of the work of God's grace in the soul. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. The latter rain, ripening earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not spring up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. Testimonies to Ministers, page 506, 1897. A. The Historical Application to the Whole Church. The early rain came in AD 31 at Pentecost. In obedience to Christ's command, they, the disciples, waited in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Spirit. They did not wait in idleness. The record says that they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God, Luke chapter 24, verse 53. As the disciples waited for the fulfillment of the promise, they humbled their hearts in the true repentance and confessed their unbelief. The disciples prayed with intense earnestness for a fitness to meet men and in their daily intercourse to speak words that would lead sinners to Christ. Putting away all differences, all desires for supremacy, they came close together in Christian fellowship. Acts of the Apostles, pages 35 through 37, 1911. It was after the disciples had come into perfect unity, when they were no longer striving for the highest place, that the Spirit was poured out. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 8, page 20, 1904. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the beginning of the early or former rain, and glorious was the result. To the end time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true Church. Acts of the Apostles, pages 54 and 55, 1911. Consequences of the early rain at Pentecost. Under the influence of the Spirit, words of penitence and confession mingled with songs of praise for sins forgiven, thousands were converted in a day. The Holy Spirit enabled them to speak with fluency languages with which they had heretofore been unacquainted. The Holy Spirit did for them that which they could not have accomplished for themselves in a lifetime. Acts of the Apostles, pages 38 through 40, 1911. Their hearts were surcharged with a benevolence so full, so deep, so far-reaching, that it impelled them to go to the ends of the earth, testifying to the power of Christ. Acts of the Apostles, page 46, 1911. What was the result of outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost? The glad tidings of a risen Savior were carried to the uttermost parts of the inhabited world. The church beheld converts flocking to her from all directions. Backsliders were reconverted. The ambition of the believers was to reveal the likeness of Christ's character and to labor for the enlargement of His kingdom. Acts of the Apostles, page 48, 1911. The promise of the latter rain. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the former rain, and glorious was the result. But the latter rain will be more abundant. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 8, page 21, 1904. Near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace is promised to prepare the Church for the coming of the Son of Man. This outpouring of the Spirit is likened to the falling of the latter rain, Acts of the Apostles, page 55, 1911. Before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times. The Spirit and power of God will be poured out upon His children. Great Controversy, page 464, 1911. The work will be similar to that of the day of Pentecost. As the former rain was given in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the opening of the gospel to cause the upspringing of the precious seed, so the latter rain will be given at its close for the ripening of the harvest. Great Controversy, page 611, 1911. The latter rain will produce the loud cry. At that time, the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, will come to give power to the loud voice of the third angel and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues will be poured out. Early Writings, page 86, 1854. I heard those clothed with the armor speak forth the truth with great power. It had effect. I asked what had made this great change. An angel answered, "It is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the loud cry of the third angel." Early Writings, page 271, 1858. B. The personal application to individual Christians. The early rain produces conversion. The latter rain develops a Christ-like character. At no point in our experience can we dispense with the assistance of that which enables us to make the first start. The blessings received under the former rain are needful to us to the end. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting latter rain. Testimonies to Ministers, pages 507 and 509, 1897. The Holy Spirit seeks to abide in each soul. If it is welcomed as an honored guest, those who receive it will be made complete in Christ. The good work begun will be finished. The holy thoughts, heavenly affections, and Christ-like actions will take the place of impure thoughts, perverse sentiments, and rebellious acts. Counsels on Health, page 561, 1896. We may have had a measure of the Spirit of God, but by prayer and faith we are continually to seek more of the Spirit. It will never do to cease our efforts. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and latter rain, we shall lose our souls, and the responsibility will lie at our own door. The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. Testimonies to Ministers, page 508, 1897. When the way is prepared for the Spirit of God, the blessing will come. Satan can no more hinder a shower of blessing from descending upon God's people than he can close the windows of heaven that rain cannot come upon the earth. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 124, 1887. We should pray earnestly for the descent of the Holy Spirit. We should pray as earnestly for the descent of the Holy Spirit as the disciples prayed on the day of Pentecost. If they needed it at that time, we need it more today. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 158, 1882. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the Church is looked forward to as in the future, but it is the privilege of the Church to have it now. Seek for it, pray for it, believe for it, we must have it, and heaven is waiting to bestow it. Evangelism, page 701, 1895. The measure of the Holy Spirit we receive will be proportioned to the measure of our desire and the faith exercised for it. And the use we shall make of the light and knowledge that shall be given to us. Review and Herald, May 5, 1896. We are not willing enough to trouble the Lord with our petitions and to ask Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us to trouble Him in this matter. He wants us to press our petitions to the throne. Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 537, 1909. We must humble our hearts in true repentance. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow His blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work, by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer, to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us His blessing. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 121, 1887. I tell you that there must be a thorough revival among us. There must be a converted ministry. There must be confessions, repentance, and conversions. Many who are preaching the Word need the transforming grace of Christ in their hearts. They should let nothing stand in the way of their making thorough work before it shall be forever too late. Letter number 51, 1856. Reformation must accompany revival. A revival and a reformation must take place under the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Revival and Reformation are two different things. Revival signifies a renewal of spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, a resurrection from spiritual death. Reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in ideas and theories, habits and practices. Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. Revival and Reformation are to do their appointed work, and in doing this work, they must blend. Review and Herald, February 25, 1902. We must put away all strife and dissension. When the laborers have an abiding Christ in their own souls, when all selfishness is dead, when there is no rivalry, no strife for the supremacy, when oneness exists, when they sanctify themselves so that love for one another is seen and felt, then the showers of the grace of the Holy Spirit will just as surely come upon them as that God's promise will never fail in one jot or tittle. But when the work of others is discounted, that the workers may show their own superiority, they prove that their own work does not bear the signature it should. God cannot bless them. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 175, 1896. If we stand in the great day of the Lord with Christ as our refuge, our high tower, we must put away all envy, all strife for supremacy. We must utterly destroy the roots of these unholy things that they may not again spring up into life. We must place ourselves wholly on the side of the Lord. This Day with God, page 258, 1903. Let Christians put away all dissension and give themselves to God for the saving of the lost. Let them ask in faith for the promised blessing, and it will come. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 8, page 21, 1904. Love one another. Christianity is the revealing of the tenderest affection for one another. Christ is to receive supreme love from the beings he has created. And he requires also that man shall cherish a sacred regard for his fellow beings. Every soul saved will be saved through love, which begins with God. True conversion is a change from selfishness to sanctified affection for God and for one another. Selected Messages, Book 1, pages 114 and 115, 1901. The attributes which God prizes most are charity and purity. These attributes should be cherished by every Christian. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 85, 1882. The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. Ministry of Healing, page 470, 1905. Total surrender required. God will accept nothing less than unreserved surrender. Half-hearted, sinful Christians can never enter heaven. There they would find no happiness, for they know nothing of the high, holy principles that govern the members of the royal family. The true Christian keeps the windows of the soul open heavenward. He lives in fellowship with Christ. His will is conformed to the will of Christ. His highest desire is to become more and more Christ-like. Review and Herald, May 16, 1907. We cannot use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to use us. Through the Spirit, God works in His people to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. But many will not submit to this. They want to manage themselves. This is why they do not receive the heavenly gift. Only to those who wait humbly upon God, who watch for His guidance and grace, is the Spirit given. Desire of Ages, page 672, 1898. Clearing the way for the latter rain. I saw that none could share the refreshing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, over pride, selfishness, love of the world, and over every wrong word and action. We should therefore be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Early Writings, page 71, 1851. It is left with us to remedy the defects in our characters, to cleanse the soul temple of every defilement. Then the latter rain will fall upon us as the early rain fell upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 214, 1882. There is nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance, so that the Lord can pour out His Spirit upon a languishing church. Every temptation, every opposing influence, whether open or secret, may be successfully resisted, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And Selected Messages, Book 1, page 124, 1887. The latter rain will come, and the blessing of God will fill every soul that is purified from every defilement. It is our work today to yield our souls to Christ, that we may be fitted for the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, fitted for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 191, 1892. Become active laborers in Christ's service. When the churches become living, working churches, the Holy Spirit will be given in answer to their sincere request. Then the windows of heaven will be open for the showers of the latter rain. Review and Herald, February 25, 1890. The great outpouring of the Spirit of God, which lightens the whole earth with His glory, will not come until we have an enlightened people that know by experience what it means to be laborers together with God. When we have entire, wholehearted consecration to the service of God, God will recognize the fact by an outpouring of His Spirit without measure. But this will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. Christian Service, page 253, 1896. When the reproach of indolence and slothfulness shall have been wiped away from the church, the Spirit of the Lord will be graciously manifested. Divine power will be revealed. The church will see the providential working of the Lord of Hosts. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 46, 1909. We need not worry about the latter rain. All we have to do is to keep the vessel clean and right side up and prepared for the reception of the heavenly rain and keep praying. Let the latter rain come into my vessel. Let the light of the glorious angel, which unites with the third angel, shine upon me. Give me a part in the work. Let me sound the proclamation. Let me be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. Thus seeking God, let me tell you, He is fitting you up all the time, giving you His grace. The Upward Look, page 283, 1891. The answer may come with sudden velocity and overpowering might, or it may be delayed for days and weeks and our faith receive a trial. But God knows how and when to answer our prayer. It is our part of the work to put ourselves in connection with the divine channel. God is responsible for His part of the work. He is faithful who hath promised. The great and important matter with us is to be of one heart and mind, putting aside all envy and malice, and as humble suppliants to watch and wait. Jesus, our representative and head, is ready to do for us what He did for the praying, watching ones on the day of Pentecost. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 3, page 272, 1878. I have no specific time of which to speak when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will take place. When the mighty angel will come down from heaven and unite the third angel in closing up the work for this world. My message is that our only safety is in being ready for the heavenly refreshing, having our lamps trimmed and burning. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 192, 1892. Not all will receive the latter rain. I was shown that if God's people make no efforts on their part, but wait for the refreshing to come upon them and remove their wrongs and correct their errors, if they depend upon that to cleanse them from filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and fit them to engage in the loud cry of the third angel, they will be found wanting. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 1, page 619, 1867. Are we hoping to see the whole church revived? That time will never come. There are persons in the church who are not converted and who will not unite in earnest, prevailing prayer. We must enter upon the work individually. We must pray more and talk less. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 122, 1887. We may be sure that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, those who did not receive and appreciate the early rain will not see or understand the value of the latter rain. Testimony to Ministers, page 399, 1896. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. Testimony to Ministers, page 507, 1897. Those who make no decided effort, but simply wait for the Holy Spirit to compel them to action, will perish in darkness. You are not to sit still and do nothing in the work of God. Christian Service, page 228, 1903.